and sent out to all of the colonies, and we are grateful for them. Notice that they said they pledged this at the risk of their lives, of their fortunes, and their sacred honor. It tells us a whole lot about us as Christians, doesn't it? Throughout all of history, there has been a war, a battle for control. There's two types of control. There is the tyrannical control that we just read about. There is the domineering control that wants to dictate everything that this person does or says. And then there is a governance control, a control that is guiding, leading, protective, one that watches over and helps the people that are under this power. Our Bible tells us when this war began. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, we see a war broke out in the heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out. That serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast with him. So this battle of power and of the control began in heaven, when Lucifer decided he wanted to be God. And of course, as we see, he was defeated, and his angels, a third of the angels, were defeated with him, and they were cast down. Now, we see this battle throughout biblical history. The first human contact with this battle was Adam and Eve in the garden, when Lucifer deceived them, and they surrendered the gift of taking control or being in control of this nation over to Satan. We see this battle in the history of Noah, when only 8 people were faithful to the Lord and all of the other people were destroyed. We see this battle for the Holy Land, when God had freed them from Egypt and they're going to the Promised Land. We see the battle there. We see the battle in history with the Roman Empire, from the days of Jesus, actually before, and even after Jesus, when Constantine declared a different way of worship other than the biblical worship. We know that that battle for control led to many thousands of people dying who wanted to choose the Lord God Almighty and a true faith instead of the apostate faith. Then we see it all the way through going into England. Though they broke away from the Catholic Church, we see that they became as oppressive as the Catholic Church had been. Once the Church of England was established, nobody could go to any other church legally other than that church. The Protestant Reformation taking place, they would kill the people that were not wanting to submit to the Church of England. They would burn them at the stake. They would put them in jail and starve them. They would take away their families' provision. They wanted full control in a religious realm, not just in the natural realm. And so we see this control, this battle for control, taking a horrible turn. And we want to make sure that that we are not yielding, even if it means that we suffer things, we will not yield to that power as our forefathers here in this country did not yield to that power. Right now, I would like to honor all of the people that have served or are serving in the military at this time. We have people that have served. Raise your hand or stand so that we can thank you for your service. A couple of them. I know there's some out in the lobby. And thank you for your service to this country. And I always like to thank the families, too, because they served right along with. Amen? Now, in this call, we have a promise from our Lord. It's found in Romans chapter 6, if you'd like to turn your Bibles there. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. Your phones, your Bibles, whichever you want. Notice what Scripture says. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. So another declaration of war took place and is taking place in your hearts and mine. It took place then, and look at what it says. If you submit to sin, you are a slave to sin. If you choose God as your cover, you are free. Isn't it beautiful to know that God is always working in the midst of this great controversy, this battle over good and evil? We have a God that is willing to help us, willing to save us, and to point out to us what some of the problems are in your life and mine. Habits, different things that we do. Are we submitting to a tyrannical power that keeps us a slave? Are we submitting to a governess power that helps us and frees us and gives us strength? That's the big decision that you and I need to make every single day. And in our Declaration of Independence from the power of the enemy, we have a leader, we have a governor that is willing to help us and to give us strength. John chapter 8, verses 33 through 36. John chapter 8, 33 through 36. They answered him, "We are Abraham's seed, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we will be made free?" Of course, the Jewish leaders always thought that just because they were born Jew, they had all the promises, they had all the answers, and yet look what kind of people they are. Back in those days, weren't they tyrannical? Weren't they oppressive? Weren't they hard on the people? And now Jesus is coming to say that you will be free. What do you mean free? We've never been slaves. But again, Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are what? Free indeed." So if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. And Galatians also talks about the fact that whoever we submit ourselves to, we become the slaves of that power. So today, we're going to purpose in our hearts to make a different declaration. We find it in John chapter 10, verse 10 through 11. John 10, verses 10 through 11. "The thief does not come but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that they may have life abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." So the one that declared independence for you and for me is our Lord and Savior himself. He made the proclamation in your life and in mine that if we submit to him, we are free indeed. And he keeps that promise. Now, we have a decision to make. Will we walk in freedom, or will we go back into bondage? Have we given our whole entire life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have we let him in every room of our heart, so that we can walk in the abundant freedom that Jesus just talked about? Or are we going to choose to let the tyrant have a piece, have a part, have a room? If we really want to be free Indeed, we need to let Jesus, a kind, loving, guiding Savior, come into every compartment of our heart. Because the battle still rages for your heart and for mine. It rages every day. It rages throughout the centuries. And the only time that battle is going to stop is when Jesus comes and he finally annihilates sin, when sin will arise no more. But for you and for me, we need to make the Declaration of Independence every day. We need to declare in Jesus' name that we will follow the Good Shepherd. We will listen when he speaks. We will do what he asks us to do, not because he's got a whip ready to get us, but because through his blood he loves us. He wants better in our lives than even we can imagine ourselves. And of course, we have the beautiful scriptures in John chapter 3, 16 and 17, some of the most well-known verses in all of the Bible, and that is that beautiful promise that Jesus even gave to Nicodemus. Though Nicodemus didn't understand it at the time, Jesus tells us, "For God so loved the world." Are you a part of that world? Yes, we are. Remember, we're in it, but we're not of it. Amen? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Two keys there: should and might. Because in your life and mine, saints of God, there is still a mighty battle. And you know that battle better than I can speak it. You know the battle that the enemy puts in your life and mine on a constant basis. But again, we have a promise that when we surrender ourselves to the Lord God Almighty, he will make us free. So, will I give myself to the Lord God Almighty, or will I give myself to the tyrant? That little habit that I still really like, I'll give it to God. And he'll have to help me to change. We heard in the superintendent story of a young man who was radical, had bad behavior, even get kicked out of school. But once he came to truth, to know truth, his whole life changed. He got saved, he got baptized, and now his mother is studying. So the impact you have in your life is not only yours, but it's the impact that you have on other people in your walk with Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into the hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus." Look at the difference. The battle for control. Tyrannical, deceiving, hurtful, always destroying, or that sovereign God who loves, who protects, who guides, who helps us, and understands our struggles even better than you and I can understand them? Which power will you yield yourself to? As we saw the Declaration of Independence today, the colony said, "No more will we allow England to control us. No more." It cost them lives, blood. Thousands of people died to fulfill this Declaration of Independence. Thousands died, and throughout history, thousands have died to maintain this Declaration of Independence. Of course, we know the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all of that followed. But it started with this Declaration of Liberty. So today, your heart, my heart, your mind, my mind, will we declare our independence from the tyrant Satan and yield ourselves to the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ? Will you declare your independence from the control of sin and choose to be led by the loving Spirit? Today we celebrate a declaration of independence for a forming country. Today, let's declare our independence from the power of Satan's control, and that yielding to the Lord God Almighty will help you, will help me, walk in the liberty that our Lord has established for us. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Saints, do you want to have a liberated life? Then yield to Jesus, the Shepherd, the Helper, the Comforter, most importantly, the Savior. Through His blood, He brings us to the place that we can actually be called heirs of the very kingdom of God. Will you yield to your Lord and God as your controlling power, or continue to yield to the buffeting of the enemy? I know in my life, I want to be free and continue to be free. Amen? So today, you say it with me. I choose to be free. Say it, saints. I choose to be free. Say it again. I choose to be free and walk in the liberty that our Lord God Almighty has established for all who believe and will come to Him in faith. Amen.